Imagine discovering an ancient book in your father's library, its pages blank except for a woodcut dragon at its center, and the word Dracula emblazoned across weathered leather. This is precisely what happens to our unnamed 16-year-old narrator in 1972, setting in motion a quest that spans generations and continents. The discovery prompts her father to reveal his own harrowing search for his missing mentor, Professor Bartholomew Rossi, who vanished after receiving an identical book decades earlier. What unfolds is a mesmerizing journey suggesting that Vlad Tepes, the historical Dracula, is no mere legend, but an undead creature who has shaped European history from the shadows for centuries. The brilliance of this tale lies in how it transforms vampire mythology through meticulous historical research. This isn't the cape-wearing, garlic-fearing caricature we've come to expect, but something far more terrifying, a Dracula who feels terrifyingly plausible, a scholar-warrior whose immortality allows him to manipulate history itself. As one character observes, history never dies. It's always reaching forward from the shadows. The story unfolds like a Russian doll, with narratives nested across three timelines. Our teenage narrator in the 1970s, her father Paul searching across Cold War Eastern Europe in the 1950s, and Professor Rossi researching in the 1930s amid rising fascism. Each generation unknowingly follows the same dangerous path, discovering mysterious dragon books in different places, forgotten libraries, academic offices, monastery archives. This structure creates a sense of inescapable destiny. The pattern suggests Dracula deliberately selects scholarly pursuers, placing books in their paths like bait, drawing them toward him with the lure of historical discovery. Through letters, journals, and documents, each character's research built upon previous discoveries, creating a cumulative understanding of their shared horror. These three generations embody our fascination with history's darkest chapters and the perils of peering too deeply into the abyss. As they unravel Dracula's centuries-old web of power, we're left wondering, are some historical truths better left buried? This story explores the double-edged sword of intellectual pursuit. The protagonists are academics whose scholarly curiosity leads them into mortal danger. When facing evidence of vampires, they respond with scholarly skepticism, demanding evidence, cross-referencing sources, and translating obscure texts. Their expertise in Latin, Old Church Slavonic, Turkish, and Greek becomes essential to unraveling ancient mysteries. Yet, this same scholarly curiosity endangers them. As Professor Rossi warns, not everyone who reaches into history survives it. Archives become battlegrounds, and bibliography becomes a matter of life and death. Dracula himself mirrors the scholarly protagonists. He too collects books, preserves knowledge, and studies history. His vast library serves as both treasure and trap. This portrayal of scholarship as both protective and perilous reflects our ambivalent relationship with knowledge. We pursue information relentlessly, yet sometimes discover truths we might have been safer not knowing. The narrative asks, when does pursuing knowledge become dangerous? Are some historical secrets better left buried? From Istanbul's labyrinthine archives to remote Bulgarian monasteries, from Budapest's grand boulevards to the mist-shrouded Carpathians, the setting becomes a character itself. We experience locations through vivid sensory details, Turkish coffee aromas, medieval crypt silence, and the vertigo of mountain fortresses. The narrative refreshingly challenges Western stereotypes of Eastern Europe. Rather than portraying it as merely backward and superstitious, we discover its rich intellectual traditions, complex politics, and cultural sophistication. The Cold War setting adds depth as characters navigate communist bureaucracies and evade secret police. Parallels emerge between Vlad Tepes' historical tyranny and modern authoritarian regimes. The novel suggests landscapes themselves hold memory. Places of atrocity, Dracula's torture chambers, Ottoman battlefields, communist prisons, retain traces of their violent histories. the historians must read not just documents, but the land itself, finding in geographic features and architecture the clues to historical truths that official records have suppressed. Haven't you ever visited a place and felt an inexplicable chill, as though the walls themselves remembered what happened there long ago? Vampirism serves as a powerful metaphor for how history feeds on the present, with past atrocities continuing to drain life from contemporary society. Vlad Tepes, the historical Dracula, was notorious for extraordinary cruelty, impaling thousands and terrorizing both enemies and subjects. Such extreme violence creates a tear in history's fabric, allowing evil to persist beyond death. This metaphor resonates against the backdrop of World War II and the Cold War, when historical forces unleashed unprecedented suffering. Just as Dracula's medieval atrocities enable him to transcend death, the horrors of modern warfare and totalitarianism continue to haunt Europe long after the immediate violence has ended. The historians discover that official history often conceals darker truths, forcing them to explore folktales, suppressed church records, and oral histories. Most disturbingly, confronting historical horrors can contaminate the researcher. Those studying Dracula risk becoming like him. Professor Rossi transforms into a vampire. Helen bears Dracula's hereditary mark. This represents the moral hazard of studying atrocity. How do we examine evil without being changed by what we witness? While functioning as a supernatural thriller, this story works equally well as a family drama, exploring how secrets shape relationships across generations. The central revelation, that Helen is both Rossi's daughter and Dracula's direct descendant, creates powerful dramatic irony. Helen initially seeks Rossi for revenge, unaware he never knew of her existence. This family dynamic reflects how historical traumas cascade through generations. Helen's dragon birthmark symbolizes both her noble lineage and connection to historical atrocity, a physical manifestation of how we all carry our ancestors' legacies, acknowledged or not. The teenage narrator's relationship with her father follows a similar pattern. His reluctance to share his past creates their relationship's central tension. As she uncovers his history, she comes to understand him not just as a father, but as someone shaped by love, loss, and terror. Through these intertwined narratives, we see that understanding personal histories is inseparable from understanding broader historical forces. We cannot truly know ourselves without knowing where we come from. Amid scholarly pursuits and supernatural terrors, human relationships provide warmth and connection. Love, romantic, familial, and platonic, serves as a counterforce to the cold immortality Dracula represents. Paul and Helen's relationship evolves from mutual suspicion into genuine partnership through shared danger. Similarly, the teenage narrator's romance with Barley offers tenderness amid terror, their innocent physical exploration contrasting with vampirism's predatory sexuality. Friendship provides essential support throughout the journey. Turgut's assistance in Istanbul, Stoichev's knowledge sharing despite personal risk, and the network of librarians who aid the protagonists demonstrate how intellectual community protects against isolation and danger. These relationships suggest that human connection, imperfect and temporary, offers the only meaningful response to immortality's emptiness. While the vampire exists forever, he exists alone. It is better to love and lose than to survive without ever having truly connected. Vampire stories resonate deeply because they force us to consider what gives life meaning beyond mere survival.